Mark this morning, looking this morning at Mark 7, verses 14 through 23. It's printed in your bulletin, but if you have your Bibles, please turn there and join me as we hear now the word of the Lord. Mark, and he called the people to him again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him." When he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "Then are you also without understanding? Do you not see whatever goes into a person from the outside cannot defile him? Since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled. Thus he declared all foods clean." He said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." I'm going to ask the young children to come up front. You know, we were cleaning out our house recently, and we found this guy. Do you know what he is?
A raccoon?
No, that's not a raccoon.
A mouse.
It's not a mouse.
It's a bear.
It's a bear. But it's a special kind of bear. Do you know what kind it is?
No.
It's a bear bank. Not a piggy bank, but a bear bank. Isn't he cute? So, bear bank. Should I put paper clips in him?
No.
How about toothpicks? They will fit in there.
No.
How about candy? That would protect my candy, right? No. What's it for?
Money.
So,
quarters and
so if I take this quarter, I should put it in? If I put a lot of quarters in there, am I rich? No? Okay. So nobody wants my quarter. Okay. If I put the toothpick in there, does that change what this is?
No.
Nope. If I put the paperclip in there, does that change what it is?
No.
It's just they don't fit, right? They don't belong in there. You know, is Jesus concerned about what we put in ourselves? He is. But does it change who we are?
No.
No. In fact, where does Jesus say the real concern should be? What's inside of us? What has he put inside of us? A new heart that trusts him? And does he clean out all that sin? And that's why we need to be careful about what we put in. And the passage today is people thought it was all about the outside. But Jesus wants us to understand God looks at our hearts. Are your hearts perfect? Do you know somebody who can make them perfect? Jesus does. So I can't put candy in this bank? What should I do with it?
Put money in it.
Put money. Now, what should I do with my candy?
Put it in a bag and put it in to get
safe. Okay, so you don't want any?
We did.
Do you want a bear bank too?
No.
You can have them. Okay. That's your bear bank. Since my children didn't want it, you're now responsible for putting it someplace else. Help yourselves with candy, and then let's go to children's church or back to our seats. Hurry up. Come on. Hurry up. Come on. Grab. Guys, let's go. Come on. Begin with a word of prayer. Well, Lord, even now be pleased to send your Spirit upon us. Illuminate this, your word, and apply it to our hearts, and help us to trust, to walk in your ways. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, and thank you for your prayers, our house is under contract, and this past week we had the dreaded home inspection. You know, when you live there, you know there's a few things wrong, but you'd rather not think about them and just sort of leave them out of mind. The problem with a home inspection is you have a professional who comes in and tells you in 23 pages. Fortunately, our buyers only picked on one thing they wanted fixed, and it was such a small thing. Apparently, the pressure regulator for our water supply had stopped working at some point. So instead of 50 pounds per square inch of pressure, we had like 120. It was nice to take a shower in our house. The problem is, if you don't fix that, guess what's going to happen to all of your appliances and all of your pipes sooner or later? Whoosh! And I was pretty sure it would happen before we actually sold the house on July 12th. And so therefore, we had a plumber in this week who put in a new regulator. And now our showers are rather disappointing, but there's no fear of things blowing up. I would put to you, most of us live our Christian lives that way. I'd rather not think about it. I'd rather have that sin stuff over here. In fact, more and more churches are bowing before that idea and not talking about sin at all anymore. Jesus doesn't fit well with that because he likes to talk about sin. Last week, we saw him confronting the religious leaders about taking their traditions, their man-made rules, and elevating them above the Word of God and forsaking that Word of God. Jesus now turns away from those religious leaders and calls the crowds back to himself. And helps them, those who have been taught this way of thinking and have bought into that system. He wants to help them, and the way he helps is by helping them to see, first of all, their problem is much bigger than they think it is. They think they have a small problem, a manageable problem. Remember, the essence of the Pharisaical system is that the real problem is out here. And if you just stay far enough away from out there where the problem is, and if you can't, if you do the right kind of washing at the right time often enough, you'll be fine. In fact, as one commentator put it, these religious leaders thought they had almost regulated sin completely out of their lives. He goes on to say, actually, their regulations had served as shutters that blinded them to the heart-searching nature of the law of God. They were in much worse shape than they thought they were. Jesus has rebuked those Pharisees for their traditions. And so now he wants the people to hear. And again, we need to read that word in the context of Isaiah, who goes to a people who hear but don't listen. And Jesus is warning and rebuking, even as he invites here. Listen! This is important, especially for you who are under this idea that if you just stay away from bad people, you'll be fine. If you wash enough, you'll be fine. So in verse 15, he just makes a simple statement here. There's nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. It's the things that come out of a person that defile him. Now the disciple, that's all he says here. We don't get the full thing, but then they go in and the disciples say, what was that parable about? Now remember, we defined parable a few weeks ago. It's not just a quaint saying. It's the essence of all of Jesus' ministry. It reveals to those who have eyes to see, but it hides from everyone else. And this one is really well hidden. Because the disciples say, what was that all about? We don't get it. For that question, they receive a rebuke. By now, Jesus tells them, you should know better. You've had enough evidence. You've heard the truth. You should be getting it. But they don't, in part because they haven't yet been given the fullness of the Holy Spirit. but also in part because it's much more comfortable to keep those troubles out of sight and out of mind, hoping that they'll just go away. But the problem is, if we don't see the extent of the problem, we won't get the help that we need. And Jesus loves us enough to convict us with the truth of how deep and real and bad the problem truly is. So Jesus makes it clear to them, food and drink aren't the problem. To put it rather bluntly, they go in one end, pass through the stomach, and come out the other. David Garland, one of the commentators I've been looking at, comments on this, that part of the rules in the Mishnah, remember the Mishnah we talked about last week, was all those oral traditions the Pharisees had. They were gathered together. And one of the things that the Mishnah and these traditions talked about is that excrement is not ritually impure, even though it's rather offensive. And so Jesus is taking their teaching and turning it around on them. Food can't defile a person if you declare what comes out afterward as not being impure. It cannot be the problem. Jesus takes the Pharisees' own rules and turns it against them to show them the foolishness of their reason, or they don't even reason at all. And then he makes the problem very real and very clear as he turns the thoughts to the heart. Now, not the muscle that pumps blood through our bodies and keeps us alive, but that metaphorical heart that talks about the core of who we are, our essence, what we are. And here Jesus gives a glimpse about those hearts, verses 21 to 22. Out of the heart of man comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. I'd like to read that list as fast as I possibly can, because it's not very flattering. It includes behaviors, actions, things we do. It includes thoughts. It includes character. I think Jesus here is building on Jeremiah 17, where through Jeremiah, he says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Yet I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. See, herein lies the problem. Jesus said the heart is bad, it's wicked and deceitful. And God looks at that heart. God searches those hearts, and what he sees there is not pleasing, deceitful. I think the first use of deceitful here is our hearts deceive us. They deceive us about who we are and what we are and why we're here. They deceive us about what will please us. They deceive us about the whole universe. Those hearts are desperately sick. As Paul says, they're dead. That's pretty desperate. They're evil thoughts. That is, thoughts that are opposed to God, seeking to elevate self. Look at me. Sexual morality, all thoughts and acts outside of the marriage commitment to bless one another. It's rather far-reaching. Theft. In fact, the word that's used here is the word that we get from kleptomania from. It's not talking about, yeah, you took a paperclip home from work. He's talking that you steal people's reputations, you steal possessions, you steal time. Theft is in our hearts. Murder. An attempt to put yourself in the place of God by taking the life of other, by words or by actions. Adultery, again, unfaithfulness. Coveting, wanting what others have and wishing and plotting to take it for yourself. Wickedness, that desire and joy of inflicting harm and evil on others. Deceit, bringing others into our own deceptions and then using them or attempting to use them to satisfy self. Sensuality, lewdness, open defiance of what is sensible for the sake of others. Envy, wanting what others have. Not so much their possessions, but their positions, their blessings, their honors. Slander, to speak evil of God or of others. Pride, it's all about me. Look at what I've done. Look what I can do. I can handle it. Foolishness, one who has no sense, one who will not listen. All these evil things, Jesus say, come from within. They defile a person. I think it would be better to say, they show just how defiled we truly are. They show us just how big the problem really is. And let's be clear here. Jesus is not talking about those people over there. Jesus is talking about good people, upstanding people, people who are praiseworthy, people like us. He's talking about our hearts and our problems, our evil and our wickedness. The Apostle Paul reminds us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every human being has this heart problem. Now again, Jesus is teaching, and in the context here of the Pharisees, who think by their legalism, by their list, by their regulations, they can overcome such temptation. And it's why legalism is such a temptation. If I can feel good about myself by this list, even a difficult list, then I'll buy into that system. Then there's hope. I just need to learn more and try harder. And again, Christian bookstores are full of all kinds of books about how to. In our day, and it's not new, it was in Jesus' day just as well, many proclaim if you can only get in touch with your true self and who you should be, in our day even to the point of redefining your own sexuality, that will make you happy. Jesus is telling us it won't work. Others throughout history have toiled with withdrawing from the world and from all temptations, like the monastic movements of old. But that doesn't work either, because no matter where you go, no matter how far you go, there you are. And you're the problem. Or to borrow that old saying from Pogo, we have met the enemy and he is us. That's what Jesus is trying to help us see here. It's not our environment that's the problem, though the environment can trigger what's already in the heart. And simply removing the triggers isn't going to get rid of the problem. I'm the problem. And therefore, no amount of isolation or separation will be enough. For the rebellion that's in your heart will find a way out and will invent its own triggers, if none other are given to it. The heart is the real issue here. And Jesus wants us to stop. You know, that pressure with my water problem, all the guy did was screw a little thing onto the hose thing outside and found the problem. You know, I could have done that at any point, but I didn't think to look. The Pharisees had all kinds of lists and all kinds of regulations, but they never stopped and said, Lord, what's the real problem? But God sent his son to them to help them to see the real problem. And God has given us his word and his spirit so that we too might see the real problem. And as we see it, we begin to realize, I can't do anything about it. I'm helpless and hopeless and in great trouble. But it's right there that God's mercy is at work. For once I see that, I begin to see that there's only one who can help. This one who is given for us, Jesus, Savior and Lord, who according to the Father's will and by the power of the Spirit, takes those dead, wicked, evil hearts out of us and puts in its place a new heart. That's what was promised long ago through Ezekiel. I will take from you the and I'll take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries, bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Be careful to obey my rules. You can't get there until Jesus shows you the problem. And that's what he's doing here. We live in a day and an age where pointing out a problem is approximately the worst thing you can possibly do. When in fact, it's the most loving thing you can do. And Jesus loves these people enough to help them to see the problem. And he loves us enough to help us to see the problem. And this is not just a problem for pagans out there, but for all of us. Remember, Peter, and Mark is giving us Peter's account of things. This is the Peter who, in Acts 10, when he has this vision and God says, take and eat, Peter says, Lord, I've never touched anything unclean. It took three, if you go read that, it takes three times for Peter to actually believe him. He argues with him for three times. I like Peter. He was as hard-headed as I am. It's also the same Peter who later after that in Galatia had to be called up by Paul and saying, you're falling back on those traditions. You're abandoning the thing God showed you in that vision and the work God did you in the life of Cornelius and his family and many others. This is a problem for all of us. For Peter and for all of us, we need to realize learning more and trying harder will not and cannot set us free. Only a Savior who is able to take that heart that is dead in sin and trespass, that's hard, impenetrable, only one who can take that out of us and put in us a heart of flesh. A heart that can listen and a heart that can obey and a heart that is able to receive the gift of peace and joy and hope. Only one who can do that is worthy. And that's exactly what he does. Now, here in Mark, he doesn't go on, but that's what this is all heading towards. And so I read ahead. Jesus is the answer, and Jesus offers himself as the solution. The solution from the tyranny of legalism, the solution from the tyranny of isolationism is simply the same thing. Come to Jesus. Take his yoke upon you. Learn from him, for he's gentle and humble in heart, and you will receive rest for your soul. Because the only burden he gives is, trust me. As I take away your sin and as I give you my obedience, trust me. Receive from me all that you need to be the dearly loved, treasured children of God. Trusting in him looks like, Lord, show me the lies I'm believing and set me free by your truth. Lord, show me the idols of my heart that I'm trying to satisfy and crush them. Lord, help me to find my rest in you and you alone. Help me to know you more deeply. Set me free by your truth. Drive out the lies. Overcome the idols. Give me your spirit. You know, God never gets tired of you praying that kind of a prayer. And it's one he loves to answer because he's promised it. And we can pray such prayer. Because Jesus is the one who has loved us and given himself for us, becoming sin for us, so that in him you might be the righteousness of God. So even as Jesus shows how unimaginably big our problem really is, He shows us himself infinitely bigger than our problem. The one who lifts us out of the muck and the mire and sets us on himself, the rock that none can move. You know, the call of Scripture is to guard your heart, for from it are the wellsprings of life. The only way you can guard your heart is by crying out to Jesus to be the Lord of your heart, to remove all those nasty things in that list, and to put himself in there as Lord and King. Amen? Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you that you love us and have shown us not just our sin, but yourself as our Savior. And Lord, we see poorly, dimly. Even now, send your Spirit. Illuminate these truths to us. Apply them to our hearts. Help us to grab hold of that freedom for which you have grabbed hold of us. And help us to run in it, in the paths of blessing and obedience and abundance. And we long for that day when that fullness will be ours. But even now, grow our hunger, satisfy us with your truth. It's in your name we pray. Amen.